Father, we thank you for the day and for the time we could spend in your word. And I pray that you will continue to do your work, illuminate us and encourage us, show us the ways that you want to use us here and in other ways, areas as well. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll have a little reading there. The title for this evening's message is The Gift of Administration. Now, I slipped up a little bit there. It's actually the gift of governments, but it means the same thing. We generally go to the gift of administration because that's what we generally understand. But in God's Word, it's referred to as governments. It says there in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, in verse 28, "And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues." And I want to look at that gift there, governments, this evening. Question is, what is governments? What does that actually mean? Well, the word itself means to guide or to steer or direct. And it actually has a nautical idea about it. It means one who steers the ship. And I don't know if it's the case today, but in the old days with the English sailors particularly, the helmsman would be referred to as the governor. And that's the picture that we have here. It may not so much be the captain where he says, this is the direction we're going, but it's the one who has the control of that big steering wheel or the helm and guiding the ship. He was the man to steer the ship through the treacherous seas to the port where they want to go to. Now, we have an instance of this word, this Greek word being used somewhere else in the Word of God, and that's over in Acts, if you'd like to turn there. Acts chapter 27. And here it is used in that nautical sense. This is the Apostle Paul on his way to Rome. And it says in Acts chapter 27, and we're looking for the word here, master. All right, that's how it's translated, not governor. It says there in verse 9 of chapter 27, "Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master, the governor, and the owner of the ship, much more than those things which were spoken by Paul." And so that's another time when this Greek word is used, and we have that nautical idea, the master or the steerman, the pilot. He believed that he, even though things seemed to be treacherous at the time, he believed that he would be able to take them to the destination where they wanted to go. Now, he was wrong. They ended up crashing and, you know, everything falling apart. So he didn't quite steer them the way they should. But that's the idea that we get. Steering and maneuvering a ship in one way or another. Now, when we consider this in regards to a spiritual gift in the local church, we need to take the same idea and apply it to the ministries within the local church. I have a quote from someone, I can't even remember his name, actually, but he has it's probably one of the commentators that I have, but this is what he says about this gift. "This gift refers to those who possessed a God-given ability to be helmsmen within the church. For this reason, some translate the term by the more modern word administration. Those who have this gift can thereby make the local church to be alive with activity. They enjoy organizing, overseeing business matters, dealing with details and generally making sure the work of the local church runs smoothly. And so, as our title says there, probably a more familiar word for us would be administration, the gift of administration. Someone who is able to organize and get things done. Now, some believe that the gift of administration and the gift of ruling is the same gift. But I don't believe that is the case. A true ruler can govern, but that's not always the case. Sometimes a ruler can't govern. You know, a ruler, as we saw this morning, is someone who can see ahead of time and see this is the direction that we should be going and plot the course, so to speak, and shows the way. He makes the decision of what to do and so on. But unless he has the ability to govern, that is, administrate and organize people and things, that goal may never actually be achieved. And there's a lot of people with the gift of leading, ruling, but they struggle to achieve very much because they don't have the gift of administration as well. You know, we get the perfect example of the two working side by side just with our own government. When I read the papers last, Tony Abbott is still our Prime Minister, right? It does change fairly regularly in our country, but he is the leader of the country. And so he is the one who will make decisions. He will say, this is the direction that we're going to go. This is what I decide we're going to do in regards to the direction of our country. But then there's what some of you may know, some of you may not. She's been fairly well talked about lately, but there is the chief of staff as well. And she's in charge of administrating things to make the decisions that Mr. Abbott make actually happen. The chief of staff is the one that makes sure that the programs work, that the letters are sent out, that everything else that is needed to make something happen actually happens. For example, Mr. Abbott might say, I need to go and speak to the president of Russia. And I need to sort some things out about Ukraine. Now, he makes that decision. That's leading. But the chief of staff is the one that actually makes it happen. You know, she will be the one that will make the phone calls, organize a place where they can meet, organize security, organize all these other things. If Tony Abbott had to do all of that as well, very little would be done when it comes to ruling and running our country, because he would have to worry about all the very minor details of every decision that he made. So often the nitty-gritty things, the details and organising and the business is done by those who can administrate, right? Steer and guide. The leader sets the course, and then the administrator actually steers it. As I said, in the ship, you might have the captain. He says, we're going to head over to Vanuatu. And then he'll give the orders, and then the helmsman will steer them in the best way. And if no one does this, no one's willing to be involved in this area of ministry in any organization, and particularly within a church, well, then often the church is just a complete shambles. Nothing actually gets done. Everyone has great ideas. Hey, why don't we do this? Great idea, but it never gets done. Great idea about this, but it never gets done. People are good at ideas, I've discovered, but you need people that can actually get them done as well. And that's those people with that gift of administration. You know, a very good example of this in the Word of God is King Solomon. Now, he was gifted in both ways. He was a leader. He was the king as well, but he was a leader. But he was also an administration guru, if you want to put it like that. He had the idea to build God a temple, somewhere where he has a home and we can worship. They could worship. And so that was the direction. He decided that. But not only did he do that, but he organized people in a magnificent way to actually make it happen. You know, some of the things I learned is, you know, he had 30,000 men cutting trees in Lebanon in order to have all the timber. And he organized it so 10,000 went and worked for a month, and then they come back and have 2 months off, while another 10,000 go off. And so that 30,000 just rotated cutting down timber for the temple. He had another 80,000 cutting out rocks in the mountain for the temple. And then he also had another 70,000 men bringing all of those rocks back. He had 40,000 horses, and he had men keeping them fed so that they could be used in the work. He had a navy who went off to Tarshish to go and get gold for the temple of God as well. As well as organizing men, and I dare say women, to be able to feed all these people. And so he was able to organize all of that. That's administration on a mega level. And so he not only could rule and lead, he could administrate. And so there is a difference between someone who has that gift of ruling and someone who has that gift of administration. Now, characteristics of someone with this gift. And I told Linda, you got this gift. And she said, yeah, I know, you've told me before. These are some of the characteristics. Shows particular attention to detail, all right? They're not slap happy. For me, this is what we're going to do. She wants to know all the details of how we're going to get there. I don't know. We're just going to get there, all right? And I leave her to worry about all the details, all right? I just came up with the idea, all right? And she's got to make it work, all right? But that's what someone loves that. Someone with this gift will be aware of the available resources and able to use them to achieve the task. So they know, I could get this from there, I could do that from there, and they can use all those details. They can appear to be project-minded instead of people-minded, where you might have an idea, we're going to do this to help, but someone with this might look at all the facts and figures, and I'm not saying this is what Linda does, but we can't afford it. No, it doesn't work. It doesn't all match up. You know, you can sometimes be more involved in all the nitty-gritty figures, and if they don't match up, well, we shouldn't do it. And so you can struggle in that area as well. But it's certainly someone who wants to be organized and act efficiently. And that's where that character is seen in someone with this type of gift. Now, when it comes to the local church, you know, it's a big benefit to a local church if the pastor has this gift, all right? A pastor needs to have that pastor-teacher gift. That's just the basics, you know. You can't be a pastor unless you've got the pastor-teacher gift. It would make sense that they have some degree of that ruling gift as well. Otherwise, they just don't have any direction. But it's even ideal if they have that gift of administration as well, where they can organize things and make things happen and write the letters and do the business meetings and run everything efficiently. You know, my father was certainly like this. He was a pastor, he was a teacher, but he also ran the campsite there at Beshan. He ran a retirement village. He ran the hostel and the nursing home. He had stacks of paperwork and meetings and letters and details, minute details, to make sure everything could work. He was an administration whiz. He didn't give any of that to me. All right, he kept it all for himself, which he gave some to our oldest brother, Stephen. He's really like that as well. But David and myself, we certainly don't have very much of that at all. Now, we know you don't get it from your father. You get it from your heavenly father. But when it comes to being gifted in that area, I acknowledge that's certainly, if I have got a gift in that area, it's a very small measure of that gift, all right? He didn't endow me with much at all. So what that means is if you have a pastor that doesn't have a gift or not much of a gift with administration, well, then you find people with that gift God's given to compensate in that area. Sadly, you got some pastors and they can preach and teach and they can pastor and they may lead, but they can't administrate, but they don't want to hand anything over to anyone. They want to have complete control of everything, and so nothing actually gets done. You know, they might say, pastor might think, you know, I believe we should be supporting this missionary over here. That's a real need, and they see that and they're inspired by that. So they get the church together and they show them the need and say, look, I really believe we should be helping this person. And if the church thinks it's a great idea, they say, yeah, we will support them. We're all for it. But just because a church says we will do it doesn't mean they actually get the money straight away. It just doesn't happen. And if it's left to a pastor who isn't very good at administration, you might go back to him and say, how's that going with supporting such and such? And he'll say, yeah, I know it's been 6 months. I'm getting around to that, but I'm going to make the phone call and work things out. Now, that's bad. What you do is, if you haven't got a gift in that area, that's not where your strong points is. You have to be willing to hand it to someone where they are gifted, and they will make the phone calls, they'll organise the bank details, they'll set up this, make sure it's okay, and they are getting it as quickly as possible. And that's the difference. If you don't have a gift when you're a pastor in that area, well, then you make sure you have people with that gift. Thankfully for our church, far as I'm aware, we've only had two secretaries since I've been here anyway. Brother Norm, who did a fantastic job and it was great, and also Dorothy. And praise God for them that they're willing to do that sort of thing. But I don't think the gift just starts and ends with the secretary of the church. You know, there are different areas in the church where this gift can be used. And when possible, it's best to share the load. If you are someone in control or in a ministry, you're that leader, that ruler, if you call it like that, and you're really good at administrating things as well, praise God for that. But if you're not, make sure you have find someone with a gift to help you in that area as well. And when we have people with that gift to administrate in the diaconate, it makes it good in the local church. It could be when it comes to working the money side of things out. Generally, a treasurer has to be good at all the minute details. Our treasurer is the secretary as well, so it's combined there, but it isn't always. But you certainly don't want a slap happy person being the treasurer. That's why I would be really bad at the treasurer. You know, you don't need to worry about receipts, just make sure they get paid. You know, Dorothy knows the frustration with me, all right? I struggle with detail in that sense. But that's where we can praise God that there are people that want to be organized, want to look at the nitty-gritty, want to make sure that things are running well, and you get people doing this job, that job, and that job, steering us so it's just not one big shambles. So the question is, could that be your gift? Is that your character? When we look at the characteristics of someone, do you desire to organize quickly and efficiently, where you're not lazy? You don't put things off. You like things sorted out. Do you show particular attention to detail? Are you aware of the resources around you and you want to use them? And do you see the potential and want to be involved getting it done? Well, that's the gift of governments. And surprisingly, there's not much more to say about it, which means we're going to have an early night, which is like a little gift for a long weekend. It's just become a little bit longer. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that, Lord, you are the God of governments. That, Lord, you know every little detail. We see that through creation. That, Lord, everything works perfectly. You combine things to make things work so lovely, and we thank you for that. Thank you that you're not just interested in the big things in life, but the little things as well. Not just in the universe and creation, but within our life as well. And I pray that we all may be interested and concerned about doing things properly at all times. Thank you for those you've gifted within our fellowship who have that special gift that help us to do these things the way that we should. And we pray for this night and ask for your blessing to be upon us in Jesus' name. Amen.